Have you interacted at all with the committee that is currently supposed to be reviewing the document for the Programmer's Bill of Rights? Apparently.
No, I have not, but I would be most happy to forward to whoever's on that committee a copy of the resources that we have. We
Okay.
provided them to Esther with hopes that she could also provide them to the board, but they're here for anybody who wants to have them. In fact, if anyone was to contact me directly, I'd be happy to send them
Okay.
forward. But if you'll give me an address or give my email address to the committee that's working on this, I'll be happy to provide that information. But
Okay.
we wanted to have it disseminated as widely as possible, because it would just be of benefit not just to programmers, but especially given the fact that management seems to be so stretched for resources, both personnel and financial, and many of these are free, are pro bono. So it would be a wonderful place to start, and I have a strong suspicion that even if they could not provide the services directly, they could provide some other referrals.
Okay.
And just off the top of my head, let me just read through some of them without going into detail. One of the resources is Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs. They have a clinic that addresses unpaid wages, overtime, work, unemployment, compensation, unlawful discrimination and harassment, and many other topics. Catholic Charities Legal Network, Community Mediation in D.C., D.C. Bar's pro bono help for nonprofits, specifically for nonprofits. So all of those and the information I have, we have the links for online contact as well as phone numbers, and some of them we have street addresses as well. In fact, all of them we do. We've
Okay.
got street addresses as well. I take that back, except maybe for one.
What I was going to suggest is that according to the program director's report, I don't know, I have firsthand knowledge of this, but apparently there are three members of the LSB who are named as on that committee that's looking at the Bill of Rights. And those were Mariah McLean, Irene Adams, and Ron Pinchback. So those would be good contacts for
Well,
that information.
okay, and if I could, because I can't, I'm still
Yeah.
not on yet except on my phone, let
Yeah.
me just give you my email address.
Okay.
It's M. Epps Edwards, M for my first name, Marsha. My middle name, Epps, EPPS. My last name, Edwards, no hyphens, anything in there. MEppsEdwards@gmail.com. And if anyone would like to share with me the contact information, their contact information, I'll get this out to them tonight, those resources.
Well, let's do this. I will reach out to you. You can send the information to me, and I'll have it sent out to the full LSB with directions, request to have those who are involved in that process pay particular attention and bring it to that committee.
And also, Dennis, while I'm on, before I try to get back on the computer itself, if there is a need for the full written report that I was going to make, I can send that as well. But quite frankly, it would be reinventing the wheel with it, because Esther really said just about everything that I would have
You
said,
know,
with the exception of the recommendations that the CAB was going to make.
if you do have it in writing, if you want to send it, we can make it an addendum to the minutes.
That'll be fine. I'll be happy to do so.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Relocation time.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you. Our relocation committee meets every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom, except for the days in which we have our a larger LSC meeting. We've had a soft reset, kind of echoing some of what Eric Ramey mentioned earlier. Our former broker, exclusive broker, the contract with him has terminated as of the 31st of May. We have since, through a process on our committee, engaged a new broker, exclusive broker, the Ganau Group. They'll be meeting with the interim general manager on Friday. I'm hoping to be able to join that, depending on how my 9-to-5 works. And going forward, the Ganau Group, being very, we thought in their presentation, very seasoned and very energetic about pursuing a property for us, will come with a new list of searches based on the specs we've already given them to get some new properties, but also using their contacts and internal resources to get some things that are kind of off market, those things that aren't necessarily being broadcast as available properties, as well as engaging the current landlord, Bruce Pascal, who this committee may remember, agent for the current property owner at 1990. He's been asked, I guess, by the owner to seek to find out whether or not we're interested in moving forward with a lease extension. So we're working kind of both angles as a committee. There's been several properties. I think someone mentioned Eastern Avenue. Not sure who that was, but the Eastern Avenue property was vetted, and it was not excluded wholly. I don't know if that was a statement or not, but we have not dismissed that out of hand. That property does require quite a bit of build out. And so the way that we've been told by not just Ganau, but some of the other brokers that we interviewed, that build out right now in the city is very, very difficult. So we need a lot of lead time there. So kind of squaring the two things that we're working with, maybe potential extension and then needing the required lead time, we may be in a favorable position to actually get a pretty nice piece of property that we would have built out kind of exclusively for us that we can then get at a reasonable price. And then, of course, be able to stay in our current location at a reduced rate. That's the home run that the committee's working towards. But if not, we're still, like I said, looking to get that list from the current broker, the new broker that we've engaged, and to move forward on potential properties there. There was a comment also about Silver Spring. That's 1110 Bonifant Street up in Silver Spring. We are still engaged with that landlord, not being wholly committal. There's been no letters of intent, nothing like that. Just us seeking some additional information, kind of inquiring what potential changes we might want to make, a bathroom, a restroom in the suite, things like that. All of which are possible, but of course, all of which sometimes add additional costs. So we are still looking. The committee is still working. And we did get some favorable news in and around Westminster, being one of our close partners, Westminster Church. And so as soon as they get through with their deliberations and discussions with their internal board, then we'll come back and see kind of where we stand with them. And then hoping, because the interim general manager is working so hard and really dialed in on this process, hoping through some of her contacts that she's been making, she'll come back to the committee with some extended or additional, opportunities. So that's currently what the relocation committee is up to. Like I said, soft restart with the new broker. I'll go ahead and open it up to anybody on the committee who'd like to add some details, but that's our current state. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll take questions also.
Okay, Minerva.
Okay, thank you, Kamal, and the committee for all the hard work you're doing. And I'm wondering about this conversation with the current landlord, since this is the same spiel they used with us last year to get us to stay in this building, saying that they would lower the rental And that was only, and give us a month or two of, being able to stay there with, well, 2 months free rent. I think that's what they were saying. But basically, unless these people are willing to put this in writing and identify, and I think as a committee, we need to go with them to let them know what we're able to pay, not let them figure out the dollar amount. I think that's where this is what's going to get us in trouble. So, you know, I'm for one, not, and hoping that the, we'll find some place and not have to stay in that building where everything keeps breaking and we have to pay to fix it. Thank you.
Okay. What I will say, not speaking for the chair, is that, one difference between now and last year is that we have a professional broker who is, actively working with us, and the committee has other, has been able to, tap into other, resources, legal resources for advice. So I don't think, we would be, stuck with, the same kind of deal, that we ended up with last year.
And also, just to clear the air, that last year activity was not spearheaded by this committee. That was something that was initiated by the national office and their staff. They did all that negotiation. That was not committee work.
Correct. Are there questions or comments for relocation?
Okay.
Thank you. Next item is PNB. Let me ask, Wayne Bruce, are you around?
Okay. While this, go ahead.
Yes, Chair.
I need a 5 minute break. I need to relocate.
Okay. All right. We're going to the PNB.
Yes,
mini report.
The PNB will start with Minerva and the, information about the delegate elections.
All right.
I'll be right
PNB
back.
PNB report given by the committee. So let's start with Minerva.
Okay. Minerva. And the first thing that I would like to ask, and what, let me just state this. I was asked to share information about the election, or, well, no, about the information from the PNB. This document that I see that was presented as information regarding the PNB and the New Day situation. This is not information that I shared with the board. So I don't know who presented this and had it set up to be placed, but I'm asking that we remove it, discard it, because that is not the official information that the members of the PNB board received. This, if you look at the document, at the very end of it, it starts naming individuals in the different stations that they're from. We, as an LSB, should be impartial. These individuals that are listed, and this is something that I feel like the LSB board needs to talk about, but it needs to be in a different session if we want to look at what those individuals provided. But that is not the document that I sent to the board. I think the documents that I sent, each member has a copy of it.
Okay.
And go
well,
ahead.
I would say let you start with the vote totals. That I think that's what the chair was trying to get from you. We'll move on from there. There are four members here tonight from the PNB, so I guess we'll get an overall report from the committee. So,
okay, now let me share with you.
Okay,
the vote, when you say the vote totals, if we're looking at the information, there's history with this Pacifica and New Day, and the vote totals that we have are from the year 2021. Where these bylaws were sent out to the community for all the listeners, and they were voted, and that information is on the Pacifica website under the election, election.pacifica.org. And I think I also sent that out to everyone. I was trying to look to see if I had it available. Are you able to see it?
Yes, I am able to see that.
So basically, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I want you to give your
report.
No.
So basically for the members, and I don't have it in front of me to, put it in the chat, but, if there is someone that does, I would ask that you do that. But basically what it's doing is it's showing that, the motions that we're talking about were already passed. They were passed, and the issue was that Pacifica then, it wasn't the New Day group that sued Pacifica. It was the other way around. It was the management or the PMB in Pacifica that sued New Day because the bylaws did pass. And right now, based on the trying to settle the lawsuit, and the New Day people are working with Pacifica and attorneys to try to get this resolved. It did come up in a PMB meeting that these should be discussed in open session, and the PMB has agreed to do so. So that information, go ahead.
No. I'm just trying to get a gist of the overall.
Go ahead.
Chair is back.
I'm back.
Okay.
And let me say, the reason that I asked to start with the delegate elections is so that I would be here and try and, I know that that's a complicated conversation that I wanted to start getting into. The delegate elections is cleaner and more urgent, so I wanted to start there and get that done. So please.
Okay. And I have to apologize because I went straight to the bylaws because I saw what was presented and
what
document you have is not from the PMB.
I heard that.
Okay. Now, going back to the delegate election, we're in that process right now, and every member on the board that is being shown that will need to run for re-election. Everyone should have a copy of the roster that the secretary sent out. And we're asking that everyone, please, if you're wanting to remain on this board, that you go ahead and go to electionpacifica.org and put your information in so that you know you've got 145 word and also a 500 word, write-up that you have to do about yourself, and it's very explanatory is what has to be done there. And then also the station needs to identify nominators. Those are the individuals that are members. You don't have to be on the board. You don't have to be staff, but nominators, those are the individuals that will look at the information that the people who are running, once they put up their information, will put a check by their name or say, I'm going to nominate this person to be considered to run in the upcoming election. And we only have from June the 1st through June the 30th to get that process done. And our membership needs to understand, even though you've been listening, you must be a member by June 30th. So you can't wait until June 29 or June 30 and then pay a donation or whatever. I think it's $25. And be identified as a member, because that begins to cause problems like we had, for the last election with people trying to have themselves verified, certified, and it became an issue. So we're asking people to start doing this early, and it is on the WPFW website, and they will begin.
Excuse me. I just want to add quickly that applies most urgently to people who want to run. But if you want to be eligible to vote, you might as well go ahead and get that done right now, too, that you still have to be a paid-up member in order to vote as well as to run.
And I think that's one thing that I shared earlier, Dennis. That's why I keep telling people, if you want to vote at all, they need to have you on the list by June 30th, period. Right. You're either paying the $25 or you've volunteered the number of volunteer hours. And I want to say, I thought it was 30 hours, but I'm not for sure, but it's confirmed on that website. But please, people, we need to continue to get good people on this board that are looking at the best for this station. So please go and look at that information and either sign up to run, but at least sign up to vote. And don't, the voting will not take place until, I want to say, the date of August the 10th. If you look, I could go back to the website. I'm not there, but give me just a second. Okay, so for June 1 through June 30, that's candidate nomination phase. From the 7th to the 8th, that's when they're going to validate whether these individuals can be certified to be a candidate. And then they'll start the campaigning, and that information, and hopefully we'll have cards this year, we'll have individuals on air sharing with them, with the community, who they are and why they're running. And the election itself will be, let's see, from August the 15th to September 30th. So, you know, and we need everyone to please vote early. Last year, well, yeah, last year we did it in 23. We were down to the wire. If we hadn't made the September 30 date, then they were going to have to extend the voting for another week, which would have cost the station Pacifica $100,000 to do that. So, and one recommendation I've made is that they give us a weekly update on the percentage where we are in terms of meeting the quota for having the votes in, and that they be very transparent so people understand what we're doing and why. And again, all that information is on the website. The other piece they're doing is they did not have money to have individuals to work with the NES. So they're asking for people to volunteer to help the NES. They're asking for one or two people per station. So please, if you can do that, you don't want to run, but you do want to vote, and you want to help us make sure this process is a good one. That is what we have for the election process. Does anyone have any questions?
First, I have... I have two corrections on the chart that we sent out, which I did not catch earlier. There are two people, who identified as needing to run who do not. Karen Briggs is on there as needing to run. She was just elected to a 2-year term, in 2023. So she serves through 2025. And, Wanda Nyawi was appointed to fill a term that was just elected in 2023 and then immediately vacated. And so her term also extends through 2025. So neither Karen Briggs nor Wanda Nyawi needs to run this year to keep their seats. Just want to make that clarification. Everything else I've looked at is correct as far as I can tell. Verna.
Okay, on this chart, this WPFW terms chart, there are some spots that are not filled in. Mine, for example. Okay. So why is it, why are there no instructions in terms of my term and when do I have to run or be elected?
Okay, yeah. I don't know why it's an oversight, but you were just elected in 2023, correct?
Yes.
So you are elected from 2023 through 2025. You do not need to run.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, those who did, there wasn't anything is because what you were saying that they did not have to run, but also a clarification too that I probably should have put on there, but I assume everyone knows that we didn't have the election in 2022. And that's why it really, a lot of changes had to be made.
Yeah.
We didn't have election in 2022. It was in 2023. Right. So some individuals that would have ran in 2022 were held over to 20. So that explains also other changes on there.
Right. And that's why all of the, and I did get clarification for this, but all of the new terms that would normally be 3-year terms that were elected last year in 2023, became 2-year terms. So because there was no election in 2022. So that's
okay. And Dennis, let me ask this, and I did send it to the secretary and to you. Those individuals who are staff, it does not, those are the very ones who it doesn't show any information. We need to have information for everybody, because even the staff need to understand which of them might need to run again or not
run.
Does
it say who needs to run?
No, it doesn't. Well, and everyone is staff.
That's what I was trying to tell you too.
Right.
Another thing, the staff, they didn't even actually run because there was nobody that was willing to run against them. It was a lot that happened.
Okay.
And
Helen, they did run. We had Eric on there. There were four and it was only 3 spots. So yeah, they did run. And that's why we have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're talking about 2023. Okay. So those individuals, all that 2023 who are doing it for that period, if they're not terming out, they didn't have to run again.
Okay. But you've got some who came in with us in 2021. That should be shown.
The staff who needs to run again are Sue Goodwin and Kamau Harris.
Okay.
Excuse me, Dennis. I thought it was 3. It has to be 3. It's not just 2 people. It's 3
people. Yeah, I think I'm the third.
By 11. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If we put the information, there's no question. Right.
Okay, well now the information is there, so the question is answered.
I'll be on there.
Tony.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say in the interest of time, can we...
That's why I sent it to ask people to respond.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
In the interest of time, it's getting late. Can we work on that as a board offline?
Yeah, if you have any questions, let me know. Just email me and Ellen directly if you have any questions. I thought we had answered most of the questions. If there's still some gaps, just email us. We will confirm everything by the end of this week.
Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to add to, what Minerva said. I was a candidate last year and it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. I don't know if it'll be any better this year. It started with me, having to certify that I'm a member, which I am according to my contributions. And I didn't show up on the, as a member, and I'm not the only one. It was not only at PFW. It was all across the network. People who had satisfied the monetary contribution weren't showing up. So then I had to be certified based on my volunteer status, even though I give money. So fine. But I had to do a workaround. I even made another contribution, to show here, I'm giving more money and nothing showed up. So I am, encouraging anybody who's running to be extremely vigilant, especially when you get your nominators, I had to send emails to the National Election Supervisor copying my nominators because a lot of my nominators were not showing up as members, although they were. It was really, really, really challenging, very frustrating. So as much due diligence as you can exercise, if you want to be elected, make sure you get your nominators, your required number in on time, document everything. Send it to the NES, copy to yourself, copy the nominators, make sure follow up with the National Election Supervisor, because there are no local election supervisors to monitor this at the local level. So I'm just encouraging due diligence.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, pivoting to the bylaws issue, Minerva, I heard you speak to that before. And yes, the document that I included in the, with the agenda is not the official, PNB document. It is something that I had to try and provide some context for a conversation. I know you made some statements about where we are with those bylaws. Is there anything else you'd like to share at this point?
No, not anything other than what was shared, Dennis, but there will be information coming from the PNB about an open session to discuss what's being recommended.
All right.
Dennis, could I respond?
I'm going to ask there are three other directors. I'm going to ask if any of them have anything to report or add.
Okay. The only thing I want to respond to at this point is what Minerva said in terms of how she framed the issue. The bylaws that are being proposed were not previously passed. They were not. That's the whole point. There is a group that refers to itself as New Day, and they proposed a set of bylaws changes that would basically change the governance structure of Pacifica. And those bylaws changes had to be, because they affected the voting rights of the members, had to be voted on by the members. They did not pass.
Excuse me, are those similar to the ones that are listed in the document?
They are pretty much exactly the same ones
So people can understand that these are the proposals.
These are the self-same, exactly. So yes, New Day proposed those changes, the same ones that are in the letter that Dennis distributed. And it's a letter that was sent to the PNB directors as a warning, as an advisory, that if we signed on to this, onto these bylaws changes without going through the proper process, that we would be abdicating our fiduciary responsibility. So those bylaws proposed changes, they're still proposed because they never passed. They were defeated twice. There were two very expensive referendum, the membership voted, they were soundly defeated. And then Pacifica did indeed sue the group New Day because they went around misrepresenting themselves as having won the referendum when in fact they did not. So Pacifica sued to protect its interest, and then the court issued a summary judgment saying that the proposed bylaws changes, the very ones that are in the letter that you all have, are illegal. It would be illegal because it would, affect the voting rights of the membership. And so now here they come again. The current PNB is mostly New Day. And so they figure they didn't win in either referendum. They didn't win through the court. So now they're going to bring this back and try to cram it down everybody's throat as to have the PNB vote on it and the LSBs without taking it to the membership. These are various, very significant, serious bylaws changes that affect the rights of members. Mm-hmm. This is a membership-based organization. Members have rights according to the bylaws, and the bylaws cannot be changed just because the PNB says so or the majority of LSBs say so. So I'm going to turn it over to Ron and, see if he wants to add anything.
No.
You
don't turn it. No, I'm
going I'm sorry. Okay. I'm so sorry. My apology.
No, that's okay. Ron's hand is up, and then I'm going to ask, I was going to ask him and Irene before I come back to Minerva, as the two other directors to, if there's anything that they would like to add. So Ron, you got your hand up first, so you can go first.
Okay. A couple of corrections. Minerva said that the referendums were, the referendum was won by the New Day faction. That's not true. Okay. They were defeated twice. And now, people need to understand that for those members who were not around or just not aware, there were two components to that referendum. You had the staff vote and you had the listener vote. The staff vote, was just as important as the listener vote. And when you combine the two, the referendum, both referendums failed. And what Vanessa said was true. Pacifica ended up suing the New Day contingent because they were running around, telling people that they had indeed won the referendum and that they would be in power soon. That's the basis of the current lawsuit. Now, 2 weeks ago, that New Day contingent put forth a list of bylaw changes that they wanted to enact and they wanted us to vote on at the PNB. Several of our members, several other PNB members protested vehemently, okay, because we did not receive that notice of these bylaws changes until approximately an hour before the meeting. It became a very contentious meeting and no vote was taken because the protests were that strong about the process and the lack of process. So we didn't vote on those particular bylaws. That's the notice that you received from Dennis. That was a response to those proposals that New Day put forth in that meeting 2 weeks ago, because we fully expected them to come back the following week in another emergency PNB meeting to discuss those things and try to pass them. Well, they didn't do that. They did not do that. They did not bring those bylaws changes forth for the meeting after that. But what they did do was submit another bylaws change that they wanted to enact. And that was a bylaws change submitted by Minerva and four other.
Peterson, you need to mute yourself.
And four other delegates to the PNB. This is the bylaw. In fact, that this is the cart that you're hearing now. Okay, they wanted to wanted the PNB to vote on advancing this bylaws change because it needs to be done by process, and there's a 30-day window there. So they were trying to get get within that 30-day window. Now, we did not have a chance to debate that new bylaws request, okay? And what that new bylaws request is this. They want to change the way LSBs select members who have decided to quit when they have vacancies. When the LSB has vacancies, they want to change that process to make it possible for the LSB to select someone who didn't run. They want to eliminate the guarantee, because right now we operate under a guarantee that if you run and you lose, you know, you still have an opportunity to serve because it's next man up. When somebody resigns or quits or for whatever reason and the LSB has to fill a vacancy, then it's always been PFW's policy to select the person, the next runner up for that class of voters, whether it be listeners or staff. You know, for example, Eric Ramey is on stack right now. Should one of our staff members decide not to continue, he would get that appointment automatically. They want to eliminate that. Now, I don't understand why that particular motion has not been distributed to the LSB.
Mr. Chair.
But it will be.
Point of order.
Hold on. What's the point of order?
You're asking the members of the PNB to share information. And that's fine, but going in, giving examples and things of that sort, this document has not been voted on by anyone.
Yes, that's not, okay. That's not a point of order.
All right, no, no problem.
We'll wrap it up.
Still exists.
Okay.
They want to eliminate this bylaws proposal would eliminate that guarantee, okay, and allow the LSB to select someone of their choosing. Okay.
Yes.
I would be happy to read this passage from the proposed change. It's very simple, but it's very powerful.
Didn't you just finish explaining it in detail?
Yeah, but I want people to hear the
Mr. Chair.
No, you just explained it, Ron. You don't have to keep going over the same point. You've made the point.
Well, the reason I'm not going over the same point. This is a one sentence.
Okay,
addition.
Well, you just started that with that. Okay, read the sentence and then we'll be done.
All right, the sentence is this. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, that delegate shall be replaced for the remainder of that term. Now, right now as it exists, it says the highest ranking next candidate. They want to eliminate that. Okay. They want to say the elected by a secret ballot of the majority of the remaining delegates. And here's the kicker. The delegates may, but are not obligated to consider candidates from the previous election.
Okay.
Okay. So that's where we are there. Now,
yes. Okay.
That being said,
that point. Now, please wrap it up.
The LSBs will have to vote on this in the coming weeks.
So this, okay. These will come, so these will come to this LSB for a vote.
These will come, this motion will come to the LSB.
Okay.
And so that's where we are. And once again, this will be sent. I don't know why it hadn't been sent by our other delegates, but it will be sent out tonight, okay, to you, Dennis, so that you can distribute it to the rest of the LSB members.
All right.
So, and I just want to make it clear that it was our own delegates that are making this proposal.
Directors. All right.
Any questions? I'd be glad to answer.
What? No, you don't get to do that. Irene, do you have anything that you want to add as the fourth director?
The personnel committee met and we discussed looking at the national, as we said earlier in the meeting, national grievance procedures and operations manuals that should be consistent across the board, especially when it comes to a grievance process that would entail not just the decision that would bring in the ED as the final decider of ED, because there's some vagueness as to the steps in the grievance process, and it goes to some type of committee that nobody understood who the folks were that were in on the committee. So there's a need for the ending of a grievance process within the grievance procedures. So we thought we'd take a look at that. There were
quite. Yeah, it's nothing to do with grievance.
I'm not talking to you. Why are you interrupting me?
Continue, Irene.
My understanding of what was being voted on, was a process and not necessarily a document. We have the right to vote something down or up once it comes over to us. But what we voted on was the process, that the process be taken into consideration as according to the bylaws. So I did not vote for any bylaw change or anything. I voted on the process, and that as all bylaw changes should be voted on by process. It's the process. And if we choose not to vote for this bylaw, then that's what we do. But we still have to go through the process. So, just wanted to add that. But
okay.
A lot of the things that that we reported on was done in executive session. And so many things did not get reported on.
Okay. Thank you. Verna, I'm going to let you have a comment, then I'm going to go to Minerva for a last comment to wrap this up.
Yeah. My question was actually, for Minerva. I'm wondering, first of all, so Minerva and Irene have proposed this bylaws change that we are going to be considering, the LSB is going to be considering in a couple of weeks. Number one, that's a question. Did you propose that? And number two, why are you supporting this misinformation that the bylaws changes have been passed when it's common knowledge that that referendum, that they failed in that referendum? And the reason they failed was because WBAI and WPFW staffs voted to stop it. So why are you supporting that misinformation?
Okay. Why are you commenting on this information?
Irene, you're not recognized.
Okay. May I speak, Dennis?
Yes. Yes. I was going to say, okay, you can answer those two questions and then make a final comment.
Okay. And first, Verna, this information is on the electionpacifica.org website. I copied that information and shared it. So we've got a difference. Okay.
Who put it there? It's wrong.
Verna. Verna. Dennis,
Verna,
will you please advise her that I'm speaking?
Verna, you're not recognized.
Go ahead.
So basically what I'm saying to the members of the LSB board, don't take my information, don't take the other group's information, but go and look at it for yourself. And the other part to that is the lawsuit was basically because the other group was asking, you said the staff voted, please show us your ballots or show us that your people were actually certified as members so they could vote. And that's where this disagreement started. I wasn't back there, but a lot of this information, it's up to the LSB members to read it, understand it, and then make a decision. I'm not telling anybody which way to do it, but I brought it forward as something that goes to the LSB members so they can go and do their own research, but not listen to what someone says and make a determination. And basically, I can tell you, and I'm going to say this so everybody can hear this, go to the PMB meetings to see how people carry themselves. It's not there to, those meetings are not set up to go ahead and get things moving. It's the East against the West, and I'm not buying any of it. I'm looking to move Pacifica forward and WPFW forward. So that is my reason, Verna, and anyone else who wants to know, to bring this forward. And also by people voting on this and identifying the things they can live with and the things they can't. This closes, brings to settlement a case that, you know, that's been going on between Pacifica and the other. Okay. That's my final response. And we shouldn't be going back and forth.
Minerva has the floor.
That's what you're seeing now. It's what happens in the PMB meetings. Exactly what you're hearing.
You don't know what you're talking about. She does it. It's factually incorrect. Factually incorrect.
So can I respond?
No, you cannot.
Why not?
Thank you, Dennis.
I can't respond. Minerva had a chance to respond.
No, you cannot. You spoke your piece. We're moving on.
Wow.
It is time. Yeah. Wow. It's time for the program committee report. Minerva.
All right. The program committee report is we basically met and we have begun discussing to look at a way to go in and listen to the different programs that are on the air. I have found some information, and Marty has as well, that we are going to be putting together, and we're asking members of the committee to sign up, to listen to programs, and let's do our due diligence there. And so we'll be discussing it further in our next committee meeting. And we invite anyone who would like to come and take part to please do so. And we're even inviting the programmers, if they're willing to come out and take part, we want their input as well. The other thing is that is coming up is we are still trying to find out information about how the programs are selected. Is there a criteria? Is there a document that people fill out in those type things? And we haven't heard anything back yet. And we are, there were questions that were sent to the program director. We haven't gotten a response, but the members that sent those questions are saying they'll bring those up every month until we do get a response as to what's going on, with, the, program director, speaking with us. And I have to say again, we did not get a report in the program committee. And I don't think we even got an email, but we got a message from maybe Verna that said she wouldn't be able to join us. So we're doing our best to try and see what we can pick up based on what the bylaws say the committee's about. So is there any questions for me at this time?
Okay. Ron.
Yeah, that was, Mr. Chair, that was going to be my question. Do the members have an opportunity to ask us questions?
Not at this point. You mean for the PNB report?
Yes.
No, because we are way over time.
Well, you were just about to avoid Minerva that opportunity, so I'm just, you know, so it's off the table now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions for the program committee? Irene or Bill, do you have anything to say about the LSB show?
I'll let Bill have it.
Bill Curtis, are you here?
Well, I'll start. The last program.
Sorry about that.
Last program was preempted for, I think, house music, during the pledge drive. We missed probably making at least $1,500 for at least $1,500. That was what our last, that's where we were last time. I think we did over 2,000 last time, but we missed raising about that much for the station with our show being preempted. Okay, Bill, go ahead. You out now?
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Sorry about that. Bill. Yeah. So the only thing I'll add to that, for the upcoming show, we are going to have, Stephanie Wells on, and, we're going to, you know, really kind of speak to the election process. You know, how do you vote? What you need to have in terms of being qualified to vote, and to encourage people to consider throwing their hat in the ring to run for the LSB.
Now, what's the timeline going to be? What's the date of the next show?
It's the last Friday of this month. Then I think
I'm just wondering what the, in terms of, will there be like a week left for people to register and sign up at that point?
Ah, very good question, boss. That is at the end of this month, and we are in the month of June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We missed an opportunity by having it preempted last go round.
Yeah.
Because that was the intention for the last show.
Okay. May I speak real quickly, Dennis? Yeah. We are not going to have a show on the 28th. They just announced tonight that they're doing something for the, and I forgot the lady's name, but for Pride, but they announced it when they were making the announcements. So we won't even have a show
come
at
on.
That time. Yeah. So again, we're preempted.
Again.
Not
important. I got you.
What we should do is, get some PSAs, going, to provide information for the elections.
Okay. But Dennis, is that considered programming or would that be more outreach or really both? We're all working together. We can work on that. Thank you, Dennis. That's a good suggestion. Yeah. Thank you.
And, yeah. You can follow up on that and I'll follow up on that as well.
Yeah.
May I
add information?
Yeah.
Yeah, there will be carts and our carts running, about the election.
Okay, good.
And that's standard operating procedure.
Good.
And, also I want to remind folks that they can self-nominate. Okay. You have to have a certain number of, sponsors. If you're staff, you got to get a certain number of staff, people to sign to endorse your candidacy. And the same thing for listeners. Those two numbers are different. The staff is lower because it's less staff, but the listeners, you know, are also included in that category. So once again, people can self-nominate, but you will have to have a list of endorsers. I think it's like 15 for the listeners. And I think it's something like 8 or 9 for the staff. Okay. And that's, that information is out there also.
And, thanks, Ron. Do you know who's putting the cart together?
The National Election Supervisor, for one. And, if we're going to do anything locally, local forums or anything like that, we can produce our own, but the National Election Supervisor will be organizing carts about the election for all the stations.
Okay.
Bill to the SAP chief. I'm sorry, I don't I'm on my phone.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Okay. So we've been preempted.
Yes.
We're notified, I guess today, a few minutes ago.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. You know, the best voter listener is an informed voter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the LSB show and we're going to dedicate a big portion of it with the, Stephanie Wells, ED, mm-hmm. you know, on the show to talk about what we were going to do it last month as well. And we are preempted, you know, this just raises, and I'm going to wrap this up. I could go on and on about this, but it's really annoying. The communication between the program director and the LSB it really deserves much more respect. And I'm not hung up on the word respect or feeling like I'm disrespected, but as an organization, the program director needs to be more forthcoming, more assertive in how they communicate what goes on with that station in terms of programming. You know, and also I'll close with this food for thought. The LSB show is a show that's dedicated to listeners who give us money. I don't understand why it's so deep. It appears to be so deprioritized, you know, deprioritized, not good, you know, not a good look, not a good way of managing people, you know, not a good way of communicating. The communication on the program director, she needs to step up her game and communicate with this LSB board.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Hold on. Actually, Ron, I wanted to ask you something right quick. Is it possible for, is it appropriate for you or for that matter, any of the other public affairs programs, to devote, you know, 10 minutes, at some point.
That's what I wanted to ask. That's what I wanted to, talk to right now.
Yeah.
The LSB is going to be preempted on the 28th. We can be preempted on the 21st.
Okay.
All right.
Cooperation. Thank you.
That's the program committee meeting.
not here on the floor of the LSC meeting.
Either way, Michael, it's okay. That's good. So Irene, you guys, let's see what we can do. Thank you.
Yeah, work on that. Thanks,
Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
And thank you, Chair.
Okay. Irene, Verna, Minerva, and Verna, this is program, committee business, and we've still got, a lot of agenda to go, so,
However, Dennis, Vanessa is violating the special rules of conduct by resorting to name calling in the chat, and I'd like to ask that she be removed from our meeting. She's been warned twice, she told her twice that she was out of order, and now she's bullying me in the chat.
You call me a liar in the chat, so why don't you rule yourself out of order, too?
I did, because you are lying.
No, I'm not. You don't know the facts. Read and learn. Reading is fundamental.
It is. It is. And listening is, too.
All and right. I was on the PNB when this happened, Irene. You don't know what happened.
You both need to stop. I haven't looked at the chats. I can't rule on anything right now. But I do want to remind everybody that those rules of conduct do apply to the chats. There should not be any name calling in there. I'm going to have somebody, begin monitoring that, and somebody who's calling names should not be calling out somebody else who's calling names. I'll just leave it at that. Minerva and Verna, we've heard a lot from both of you, but you're entitled. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just say that programs are preempted all the time. None of us like it when that happens. Don't take it personally.
Okay.
Let's not make a big issue. Programs are always preempted.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And all I was going to say, Dennis, is I think we've discussed what we needed to discuss from the committee. And thanks, everyone, for your time and even for the comments. Take care.
Violetta, do you have anything for the Community Outreach Committee?
Yes, people have spoken about it, so I'm gonna try to do it as efficiently as I can. We met on June 4th. Present were Marsha Edwards, Arthur Hyland, Mariah McLean, Gloria Turner, Martha Peterson, Sabu Hakeem, Minerva Sanders, Irene Adams, and myself, and Annette Carson has joined us. This committee does work pretty hard, and we would just like to emphasize that coordination and collaboration is really key, because as you've heard, you know, some of the things we've been planning for months, we come out of the meeting on the 4th, and then the next day, there's some conflicting information. And with WPFW not having money and not having low staff, we should really, really be focused on coordinating so efforts are duplicated. So that really, we talked about the 5K run, and that was one of the places. We've been talking about that for a couple
yes,
months.
Okay.
It's on September 14th from 1 to 7.
Everyone, and, please mute except Violetta.
Excuse me, what did you say?
And,
can you please mute?
And, Martha's been working on it as she usually does. She does a great job. And, you know, the local businesses normally sponsor it. The committee really subsidizes it, you know, and, it was just a matter of getting, you know, deciding what to do with the time change. And we were thinking that it might even be bigger, because we also discussed, you know, if it gets too big, we might have to have an added expense of $100. But then the next day we found that, you know, as it was stated, it might not be, or it might be changed or whatever. So I guess one thing would be, and Miyuki said that, because we didn't even know that Robin was now the event coordinator, which is great, and we welcome her to the committee, but we didn't know that. And so one thing we need to know is if our efforts can be overruled like that, because, you know, it's kind of like hearing stuff out in the streets or in the grapevine when, you know, this committee meets regularly. we always have a quorum. We don't have a set time, but we have enough people to discuss business. The people on the committee work diligently, and we are trying to do a work for WPFW. So, we just stress a way to, you know, work together on this, and hopefully, you know, if, we're held, you know, we know what's going on, and I don't want to speak because it's nothing negative, because it's very good that Robin's stepping up as well to get these events done, because I don't think that we could have too many events. And with that being said, there's no reason for us all to do the same event either. So that was that on the 5K. We discussed the young people's involvement initiative, and those plans are underway. And the same, we talked about the same thing with that, you know, of having a clear definition of which committee is doing what. And we really didn't get to any clear boundaries, but, you know, Mariah has, offered to serve as liaison to try to keep all parties informed, again, on behalf of WPFW and getting younger people involved in the station. And as far as we discussed the newsletter update, and we discussed a lot of stuff, and Art followed up with Vinny afterwards. So a lot of stuff was taken care of. As far as the newsletter and what would be in there, we did talk about, it was a decision to forego a programmer interview to focus on having election information so that the community, you know, whoever gets it, community, everybody would know about that. And, maybe an interview with the, election supervisor. And a calendar of events, again, with an eye of really coordinating events so they're used efficiently on behalf of the station. And there's concern about the website being updated and, you know, looking better. Hopefully we can get a push with that, because that, you know, that's our presence in the community. Art, and Vinny, I think it was, they talked about, communication plan. The committee is, willing to work on that and, submit it and talk about that. At the end of our last meeting, someone mentioned, asked us if we would look into getting more people to the meetings to especially be involved with the committee, the community comment period. And so, that was another thing. I think through Art and Vinny, Katia, I think got the final version going. So the PSA should be going out as far as that to, let everybody know what's going on. We talked about the Blues Festival, and this was an example of what we're talking about as far as confusion, because, and maybe it was just an update or something, but we came out of the June 4th meeting thinking that the Blues Festival was on hold, and now it's going to be August 23rd, which is, like I said, great, but, you know, it's just coordinating would be desired and great. And so the Mahalia Jackson, again, another thing that Gloria is talking about, to be held at New Bethel Church. And she's going to talk to, or has talked to, some of the programmers who do religious programming and stuff like that. So that is a potential of a big chunk of money on that can go to the station. And lastly, we still have to determine a town hall meeting date, which the committee is mandated to do at least two a year. Again, the schedule of events, us knowing that, will be very, very helpful so that we don't schedule. We don't want to schedule when something else is done, or, you know, and at a time where we won't get great participation. And, I think that's it. So the question on the table would be, I guess, about process. can the stuff or should the stuff that we do get changed outside of committee without our knowledge?
Let me say this. It shouldn't. I agree with everything you said, about the issues of, confusion and communication and coordination. The interim general manager is usually in these meetings. And so here's about what we are doing. We don't, get as much information about, what's being planned, especially since a lot of that is being done by, at this point by, spearheaded by Robin.
Bill is trying to get back in.
I let him back in already. He's not in the waiting room.
Okay.
What I'm going to do, Violetta, is, I just made a note about it. I'm going to make a commitment to, to coordinate, regularly with Miyuki and Robin about what they're doing and how it affects, our plans. I said we're sharing what we're doing. We're not getting much back about what they're thinking and how it affects us. So I'm going to get on their radar so that I can at least, get an early warning of the kinds of things that they're thinking that I can at least, know when they're in conflict with our plans, at least put people in touch so that you can talk to each other and work things out. And so it's not a direct conflict or a contradiction of plans.
Okay. Well, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I will try that for starters and see if that works.
Okay. And again, if anybody wants to come to our meetings, it's the first Tuesday of every month.
Okay.
I think Verna had her hand up. I don't know if that's a legacy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, go ahead, Verna.
Violetta. Yes, Violetta, first of all, thank you for all the work you're doing. I had a couple of questions. So the money that are raised in those events, that you're planning, the walk, the run, the 5K run, the blues festival, the Mahalia Jackson, are those, going to go under the umbrella of the LSB raising the money? Because LSB was charged with or had accepted the challenge of raising $75,000. So would those contribute to that figure? Do you know?
I don't know. Do you? Dennis?
Yes. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's something that to be negotiated.
Okay. Also, Violetta, and I agree that I don't know how it was unfortunate that you had to learn about that. That there would only be two events a month, but I kind of learned about it the hard way myself. But I would say that do what you can to contact Robin Holden. She is extremely effective, very organized, very focused. And one of the reasons why she has only two events a month is because she doesn't want the audience to experience fundraising fatigue. And there has to be some coordination to make sure that we're not offering too many events and people are not attending the events the way we need them to. So that's the explanation that I got. And, cause I had an event that I wanted to do in September and I waited too late and she said, oh, sorry, you can't. So now that event's pushed the whole way.
Verna, that makes perfect sense. But when we've got a board that has been, doing, especially, the four or five standard events that we've been doing regularly, for the benefit of the station, that those should not be canceled or changed summarily without conversation. I understand that rationale, but either make it three that month or work around make what we're already planning one of the two. But there has to be cooperation and conversation around that. Tony.
Yeah. you know, the bylaws tell us that we are required to assist the station fundraising activities.
Yeah.
So, you know, no other group should be able to prevent us from doing that. You know, we should be able to do it and title it under, as a local station board event and carry on like we've been doing for the past few years. I'm not understanding how we could be bumped, because a programmer says that, you know, we can't do it.
Please mute if you're not Tony. Yeah, I get your point, Tony. And I think what I would like to see ideally is not, sort of, you know, running rival, schedules of events, but to,
No.
Verna, please. But to, what I'm going to strive for, I agree with you. What I want to strive for is that, that we're both, aware of, both the volunteers and the staff are aware of what each other are doing, and in cooperation with that. But yeah, the staff, should not be able to stop us from doing it. But again, we don't want to get it into, you know, a competition or a rivalry. Or even a separate agendas, if we don't have to. Minerva, and then we have to hear from the Mass Committee, because I see Pat Morrison glancing at his watch.
Okay, just real quick. I think that, and they've never asked for it before when they put together the budget. That's what we keep talking about. There does need to be a line item for the LSB that shows the funds that it, and under that, there is a category, outreach committee, what was raised. And, even though I keep hearing this 75,000, I don't think that we ever committed. I think it was the LSB was going to do the best they could to help.
Yeah,
so it wasn't committed. And then the final is, and I've asked for this as long as I've been on the board, there needs to be a time that as they're planning that we're invited to the table so we can share with them what we're doing and they can discuss what they're doing. But, you know, and that never happened. So that's how we get preempted or things go away that we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And hopefully at some point it's not the programmers doing and the LSB doing, but it's WPFW doing.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm wonder if there in fact is a table, at this point, but I get your point.
What could be a Zoom? We'll use Zoom instead of a table.
No, but okay. I mean, it could just be, you know, quick conversation.
I know what you're saying.
Okay. Pat.
Yeah, do a report on the Mass Committee. I just want to start to let everybody know that the job announcement is out. It's on several sites. We still plan on putting that vacant, that job announcement for the GM's position on some additional sites. What we have done, to get ready for the candidate pool and the things that have to happen after that, I'll report on. First was, we distributed a survey, vote, that we had over 100 responses. Mainly from listeners and donors, with high priorities. The priorities that we saw that came out from that, were for the new general, GM, our fundraising, budget management, and a commitment to the PFW core values. And the response things will be used to guide the candidate interviews and the person selected as the new GM. We have, committee members have prepared a summary report. Dennis will send that to you for the full LSB just so they can get what our community, what our programmers and what the LSB board members are stating, what the new GM should have and the qualities they should have to lead the station forward. From those survey questions, we have other committee members that are working on the resume review process. We're going to take a look at that review process, and that really has a scoring process. You know, you take a look at that. You see, have they hit all those objectives that we have identified as through the surveys and through some other questions. We're going to take a look at that. And then with that also, that will parlay into the interview questions that we will be giving the individuals. Everybody will be getting that same interview. So the committee is actively working. It's been a long process. We're going to continue to do it until we get to the end here, but we are moving forward. That is my report, Dennis.
Thank you. Questions for the MASS committee?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Michael.
You know, we have a IGM that is making decisions as if we are not even in the process of hiring AGM. Major decisions. Some of them was having the dismissal of a person. You know, that's been with the station for many, many years. I consider that poor leadership. It's not really bringing us together. But, I mean, what is the MASS committee doing? You know, I mean, it's been since January that we knew that Jerry was leaving. We're going into July right now.
You just explained the process of what the committee is doing.
Michael, I know it's a long process, and I know, you know, that maybe people expected it to be quicker, and I understand that completely. But we really wanted to do our due diligence. We have an opportunity to make sure that whoever we hire, we hire under a process that the whole OSB board can be respectful of and can say that, because I think that's the most important thing. We did not want to rush it because we had an opening. We wanted to be very careful about that. And I know we're not moving as quickly, but I think you'll start to see that once we get the candidate selections, once we get those applicants in, well, the process will be ready. We're getting ready to make sure that we can move quickly once we get those applicants. Hopefully that answers it, Michael.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Is there anything happening with the evaluation committee?
I'm sorry, Dennis. I just got word we were in one PMB meeting where the ED stated the issues regarding the PD had been taken care of. So I'm waiting for them to identify the timeline that we use to move forward. And I'll be sending information out to the committee to ask for a date that we get back into meeting, because previously we did not want to become involved if there was some type of legal issues being addressed. Okay.
It was on hold, and you now have clearance.
Right. Right.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I am going to conclude that we do not have any unfinished business carried over. It's before this board. I want to move straight to new business. We have two motions that are being proposed. Both of them are attached to the agenda. They are both from Tony Leon. I'd rather not read them in their entirety because they're both long. But Tony, would you like to summarize and certainly get to the be it resolved line so that we know specifically what we're voting on?
Okay.
Or what the motion is. We'll need a second.
Well, the motivation behind it is very important. So I'll be as brief as possible.
Please.
And,
because we all have it.
Okay. So,
Chair, point of order, please.
Yes.
It needs to be the motion made and seconded before the motivation can take place.
Yes, and I'm asking him actually just to say the motion, not to motivate it, but to describe it, to speak it. What I'd like you to do is summarize it and get to the resolve line by way of making the motion. Okay,
I got you.
Okay.
So I think these motions are within the scope of the organization.
Each one at a time. We're doing the Bill of Rights first.
Whereas the Bill of Rights, the LSB voted, in September of 2009 to reestablish the grievance process for volunteers after the 2000 bylaws was left out, or after the 2000 bylaws left it out to establish due process. Whereas the WPFW Programming Committee further developed with input from listener and staff delegates and members of the community, a Bill of Rights and Grievance Procedure, which was then approved by the LSB, so that a policy exists that will allow all volunteers, staff, and concrete method for receiving due process whenever there are disagreements with management. And whereas management has held this policy under review for several years now and failed to agree to make the edits, administer the policy, and has instead administered unilaterally, arbitrary, and inconsistent decisions regarding several volunteer staff who have shown up on a regular basis at the station to perform unpaid labor, attend meetings, and to fundraise 4 to 6 times a year so that the station can meet its expenses, some which include payment of management salaries. And whereas Pacifica bylaws state that the board has the duty and responsibility to ensure the station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluations are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. And whereas Article 7, Section 3, Paragraph M states the board has the duty and responsibility to exercise all of its powers and duties with care, loyalty, diligence, and sound business judgment, consistent with the manner in which those terms are generally defined under applicable California law. And whereas Robert's Rules of Order states that members of a board are temporary agents elected to act in an administrative capacity. It is recognized that a board of directors is responsible for protecting shareholder interests by establishing a policy-based governance system. And whereas the station is experiencing an organizational crisis that is creating more crisis, be it resolved that the final copy of the Bill of Rights and Grievance Procedure be implemented immediately.
Is there a second?
I second.
All right, discussion. Michael, is this in relate? I know your hand was up. Is this in relating to this motion?
No, it isn't.
All right, then who's next?
I did. Thank you.
Ron.
Yes, Mr. Chair. This effort to ratify these standards is already in process.
Yes.
You know, there is a standing committee working right now to make a final, to create a final draft of the amended, and I say amended because the proposal that Tony has on the table right now is from a draft from 2009. Well, it's down to, it's now 2020. No. So.
Keep going, Ron.
Well, that's what you said.
Keep going, Ron. Know?
So my point is that those mandates are being drafted and will be voted on within the next few weeks, you know, by this LSB. So I would just advise that they allow the committee to conclude its work and then have an up and down vote at our next available opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I respond real quick?
If you can do it in less than 30 seconds.
I can. So in response to Ron's statement, this is exactly how the proposed document has been kicked down the road since 2016. 2016 is when the LSB approved it. And it's been kicked down the road ever since then. It's been given to Tom, Dick, and Harriet ever since then. And it's just another way of delaying, you know, this thing to go through. So I'm done.
Thank you. Vanessa.
So Tony, I hear you in terms of the intent, just trying to get something done. But I don't think the way to get something done is to do something hastily. And I know it's taken a long time. Even I, years and years ago, worked on an iteration of the grievance process of the Programmer Bill of Rights. It was Nkenji, Benito, and me. Yep. And I mean, a bunch of hands have been on that document over the years. So I think we've gotten to a point at this point, all eyes are on it. I don't believe there's an ounce of disagreement about the need for it. It was announced tonight, and I think perhaps at a prior meeting, that there is a definitive process that I'm forgetting the programmer's name, Tom something or another. I'm just bad with names.
Tom Cole.
Thank you. Tom Cole and some other folks are honing down on something that it has taken quite a few years to get this far. So I am hoping and trusting that the finished document will be a well done, well thought out product that will really serve the interest of the programmers. And so I just don't see the point of implementing something just to have something now when we've gotten to the point where what's been worked on for years and years is in the process of being finalized.
Okay. Thank you.
30 seconds, Mr.
Wayne
Chair.
Bruce.
30 seconds real quick.
No, you're not going to go back and forth on every point, Tony. We'll be here all night.
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. I just have two concerns. One, you mentioned, it's written, voted on in 2009. And then you mentioned, in speaking that it was another document. I guess it's the same document voted on in 2016. And the concerning part is one is 15 years ago and the other is 8 years ago. So it's got to be, if somebody's working on a newer document, I think we should wait and look at that document. I understand your concern, especially since some of the things we heard tonight. But I just, those two things, I don't know if this is a question more than a statement that I ask that you review this. You may not want to pull it, but, you might want to wait on a new document, Tony.
Okay. Thank you. Ambrose.
Excuse me. Thank you. Ron had indicated that the committee is working on it and that it'll have something for the LSB to vote on in the next couple of weeks. But that's ambiguous. And so I want to get some clarification as to whether or not that means that a special meeting needs to be called or whether or not you're talking about at the next regularly scheduled LSB meeting. And then I have a follow-up comment based on the answer.
Ron, do you have an answer for that in terms of the timetable?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm basing the timetable on, the meetings scheduled, you know, over the next 2 weeks, to finalize this document. If we want to call an emergency meeting, that's certainly within the possibility. You know, that's something that, you know, Dennis would have to, you know, authorize. But it's also something that we can request. There is no need to wait till the July meeting. If we complete our work, within the next couple of weeks, then we should go ahead and put it on the table.
All right. Thank you. Along those lines, what I'm willing to do is, reach out to the committee, and ask for a deadline so that we can have it no later than our July meeting, sooner would be preferable, but to set that as the deadline for us to have it.
Then Dennis, in that light, if we're saying that there is something to be voted on or before July 10th, then I would move to table Tony's, motion. But if we're not going to be able to vote on it before July 10th, I think we need to vote on Tony's motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I'm going to take 15 seconds to muse out loud here in terms of process. And if somebody has a definitive answer, that's fine. Who is actually responsible for saying this is implemented, we can certainly speak to it. But how much of this is on us to mandate this as opposed to referring it to management to enact it. That's just me musing out loud.
Say that again, Dennis. I didn't understand what you said. Can you say that again?
Yeah. What is our exact authority in terms of this? I mean, I do think that we should see it and vote on it. But if it's basically an employment policy, well, I guess we should vote on it and it needs to be accepted by management. That's me answering my own musing.
I'm confused, Dennis, whether or not we are voting on the current motion or whether or not we're voting.
No, I'm talking about voting on the policy itself.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the motion. Okay. Forget what I just said.
So then, it goes back to what I raised earlier.
Yes.
If there's a commitment to a document or a change that we can vote on or before July 10th, then I'll move, a motion to table supersedes a current motion.
Okay.
And so I need to hear, and the rest of us on the LSB need to hear, that the commitment is being made that we will vote on something out of committee by on or before July 10th.
I can commit to vote to it, but I'm not on the committee. I can't commit to producing it.
Right. I understand. I'm that's for committee members that are currently on the call.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
It's been taken out of the programming committee and put in.
No, we're not talking about the programming committee. We're talking about the Bill of Rights committee headed by Tom Cole. That's the committee that has it now.
I'm trying to avoid another meeting where it's not voted on.
Yeah.
And Tom, Irene,
Ron, or Mariah, are any of you involved in those meetings? Irene, you're next up. Can you speak to that? I know Ron has already spoken.
Okay. This committee has been scheduled to meet, I think, 4 times and has been canceled or moved or changed. Now we have a date. One day next week.
Wait, we're meeting tomorrow, I thought.
Well, tomorrow before that, the PNB. And so that's really weird. But however, it's been changed of quite a few times. And, while I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and do the work, I've reviewed the documents. I'm ready. If we have a meeting tomorrow and we talk about this and view on it and vote on it, that's fine. But what I'm interested in is the lady who spoke earlier about the sound document that was created. I'd like to see that document. I have asked several times for
what sound document.
She talked about a document that they had vetted. And I don't know who it was.
Well, does that relate to the motion that's on the floor right now?
Yes, it does. She talked about the sound grievance process that was in place, that they had voted on, LSB moved, and it was more recent than 2009-2016. I'd like to find that document. I've been asking about
it. The most recent thing that the LSB as a group saw and voted on is what is before your committee now.
Are we sure?
In light of what Irene has just said, I'm going to ask Tony if I can make a friendly amendment to his motion.
There's no such thing. It's ours now. You can amend whatever you want.
Okay. I am going to suggest and add that because the motion has been moved and seconded. Yes. So I guess I can add an amendment.
If you have an amendment, we need to discuss and vote on the amendment.
Yes, I understand. The amendment would be that, obviously we're going to take a vote on Tony's amendment. I'm going to add
No, we vote on the amendment first.
Right, prior to. The amendment is that, Tony's, motion would sunset upon the time at which a document is produced by the committee that we can vote on and substitute this original motion. Because otherwise there's a real possibility that this will just go on and on for another couple months.
Well, I don't get the substitute part. What you're saying is that if the Bill of Rights becomes available to vote on, is that what you're saying?
In other words, we would vote on Tony's current, motion, but with the caveat that it would sunset upon which another document is put forward as a motion to substitute for it.
Well, it would just be voted on again. To replace
I think that what I'm hearing is that the language would be different.
If the language is different and the board votes to approve it, then it's approved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially it would be sunset, but that doesn't require.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we're not voting on particular language. We're saying that let's get language and approve it. We're not voting on one version or another. I mean, we're not choosing versions. We're saying, let's get the document.
We're not choosing it now, but my understanding is that the committee is working on it and that they're going to send something to the LSB. Yes. What we don't know is whether or not what they send to the LSB will differ from the current motion on the floor.
No, the motion on the floor is not the proposal. The motion is to vote on the proposal.
Okay.
But they will send us, what they will send us is a document. Tony's motion is to implement the document.
My misunderstanding. Okay. Yeah. My misunderstanding.
Tony's motion is not a policy document.
That's true. Okay. I get it now. I get it. All right. When I say we vote.
Okay.
Well, we got a couple of hands up. Let's get through a couple of hands. And please, nobody ever say call the question, because that requires a whole new 2/3 vote. Just like let me know that you want to move it along. But
maybe clarification, I guess.
Yeah. Who's this speaking? I've got two hands, and then I'm going to ask for a vote.
Michael,
and then John Tatum.
You know, in programming, computer programming, a lot of times the program itself is not perfect, and it gets continuously developed over time. As we heard from the caller that so eloquently spoke about the grievance process that was already vetted and done. You know, 9 years ago, that person was a member of the committee, of the programming committee. And we never implemented that. So, which is what brings us to where we are now. And, I do agree with your sentiment, Brother Ambrose, that with a committee that is not met and that is having a difficult time meeting when we're at a crisis with an out of control PD making decisions, that are, you know, displayed right on display tonight with the preemption of programs where we at the LSE had to implement a, a substitute, for the LSD show in what we consider to be a crucial time and a crucial program at this point. So, you know, I'm in support of us moving forward and not really looking like a group of people that continuously come to meeting and can never accomplish a simple task.
All right, Mr. Tatum.
Yes, I would like to remind the board members about the motion to table. This is not only for Mr. Lane, but it's for everyone, that the motion to table is not the proper motion to use, and the proper motion to use is postponed. The purpose of tabling a motion is that you want to set aside the motion and bring it back in the same meeting, whereas postpone means that you want to postpone it to the next meeting or two meetings from now.
Got it.
You know, so that's the issue between table and postpone.
Understand.
And one other point, if the motion to postpone Tony's motion to the next meeting, it would certainly be open to substituting for another motion. However, when you get to that meeting, the board would have to treat it as an amendment, and they would have to vote to see whether they prefer the substitute or they prefer the original motion.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Kamal, last word.
I'm sorry. I didn't have a word. I was just trying to understand a little bit better. So the work that's currently being done on the Programmer's Bill of Rights, this, we're not discussing that document per se, right? Is that what I heard you
say? What we're saying is that we want to vote on a document. That
we're going to use the document that was already approved and by the programming committee and the LSB and given to management. That's the one that I would like to implement.
Let's clarify. So, Tony, your proposal is to, set aside whatever process is happening now. There is a document out there and that you're saying that, this board should mandate that that document should be implemented immediately. Is that true?
For the time being, yes.
And
I'm not like ignoring what's going on now, but for the time being and the urgency,
so you're saying that we should find a document, and your motion is to find a document, implement it immediately while we're waiting for the current process to play out.
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, point of information.
Everybody got that?
Chair, point of information, please.
Yes.
Where is this document?
I don't know.
What are we voting on?
Do you have the document, Tony?
The programming committee, some of the members have it. I have
it. You have it.
I do have it. Yes.
Why? I wish you had put that in the motion, because we don't know what we're asking you.
To
implement immediately.
I have. Be it resolved that the final copy be implemented immediately.
Yeah, but we don't have that copy. You're talking about the final copy you're referring to is a copy of something that happened a few years ago, as opposed to the final copy could be what will be produced in 2 weeks from now.
Please, if you're not speaking, please mute.
Okay, let's, all right.
Mr. Chair.
To call the roll. Yes, Ron.
You know, we can resolve this real easy if we just agree to call a special meeting in 2 weeks.
There is a motion on the floor that needs to be voted on. Unless it is withdrawn, we need to vote on this motion.
I have a question.
Well, Well, I urge withdrawal because we don't have.
Okay, well, but that's not up to
you. We don't have a draft of the.
I understand.
So we can't vote on something we haven't seen.
Well, we can vote on the words that are in front of us. Verna has a question, and yes. We need to call the roll.
So if we pass this motion and the committee that the PD is organizing tomorrow, what happens to the, this seems like, would this be an exercise in futility? I mean, does
I can't answer that.
The PD has to agree to, I don't know. Okay.
We don't even know if that's going to happen, Verna. We don't know if they're going to meet. You know, if what's going to happen, what progress they're going to make.
But would this carry any weight? I mean, if the PD doesn't approve it?
Or the general manager? We're going to call the roll. Ellen?
Okay. Irene?
We haven't stated what we're voting on. Yes,
be it resolved that the final copy of the Bill of Rights and Grievance Procedure be implemented immediately.
Yes.
She's yes. Karen is not here. Vanessa?
Who's not here?
They don't usually call on me so fast. No.
You're Verna? A great Anna Dixon tonight.
No.
Wayne?
No, I haven't seen the document. No.
Michael? Michael?
Byfield.
Yes.
Michael?
Said yes.
What did he say?
He said yes.
Okay. Bill Curtis? Bill Curtis?
I vote yes.
Violetta?
Abstain.
Wanda?
Abstain.
Sue?
I abstain.
Robert?
I vote no. Same reason that Wayne just stated.
Donna?
Yes.
Kamau?
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
Every programmer should be voting yes.
Right. Because it'll be their show tomorrow.
Yep.
Arthur?
Arthur votes no.
Andrew?
No.
Ambrose?
Abstain.
No or yes?
Abstain.
Oh, you said abstain. Patrick?
No.
No?
Oh, dear.
Tony?
Yes.
Myra?
No.
Ron?
No.
Minerva?
Yes.
Adele is not here. Okay, so we have one.
Ellen,
two,
excuse me, Donna.
Three.
Ellen?
Donna?
It's Donna. Okay.
Donna? Yeah, did you say yes?
I didn't say anything. Yes. I didn't say anything. Would you please state what we're voting again? I was listening diligently and at the last minute drifted off.
I thought you voted yes, Donna. Okay.
I thought she did yes too.
I did.
Yeah,
she knows what she voted.
Let her
Let her
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to just repeat the vote. What are we voting? Yes, I can vote quickly, yes or no.
Be it resolved that the final copy of the Bill of Rights and Grievance Procedure be implemented immediately.
Okay. The final copy that we haven't seen yet, right? No.
Okay, so you're saying no?
Yes, correct.
Okay, you're saying no. All right. Yes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 noes. And 1, 2, 3, 4 abstentions. Let's see again. 1, 2, 3, 4 abstentions. And Dennis, what do you vote?
I vote no.
No?
No.
Okay, so that's 12 noes. The noes.
Great. What's the count?
I'll send the board a copy so you have it for your records.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With a date, please. What was the count, Ellen?
The count again?
Yeah.
5 yeses, 12 noes, including you, would be 12 noes, and mm-hmm. 4 abstentions.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. The second and last motion, also from Tony, also long that we have in front of us in writing. I'm going to read aloud the last paragraph quickly. Be it resolved that the LSB direct management to reinstate Millie Ware immediately and allow due process to take place, specifically that all parties who have firsthand knowledge of the event in question be present at a fact-finding meeting, and that any decision made concerning this behavior, especially taking into consideration intentional versus unintentional on-air speech, and that the LSB grievance process be used to render a final decision. What I am going to say is that I am going to rule this motion out of order, as written, on the grounds that the LSB cannot direct management to hire or fire anyone. I would allow it if that were to be changed to recommend, but as written, I am ruling this motion to be out of order.
So in response to your ruling, Mr. Chair, I am open to your recommendation to recommend.
Okay.
I understand. We okay. can't tell them what to do.
Okay.
Strongly recommend.
Okay. So it becomes a statement of support and advocacy. All right. I will allow it. Discussion. Oh, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
And is there, Mr. Chairman, can I ask, is there anyone who does not have this copy or is not familiar with this motion? Because there are some motivations in there that
yeah.
are important.
This went out with the agenda this late this morning.
Well, you know.
I'm asking if people have it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to ask, on the other motions, you asked first, were there any objections? And for neither one of these motions, you asked that question. I was trying to raise that point on the last motion that you did not ask if there were any objections before. And I just wanted to point that out. Is which one is the process?
Good question.
I got the answer, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Is that the chair's discretion
there
whether to take the no, are there any objections approach or the roll call approach? If the chair feels that there is very little opposition, then the chair should take the, if there are no objections approach. if he feels as though there will be some people on one side and people on the other side, he should take a roll call vote. Thank you.
No, so but, it sounds like the chair has discretion to read the room, in other words.
Here's the difference.
I'm interpreting what the parliamentarian said. Go ahead.
This is the difference in what he's saying. He's talking about taking the vote, but I'm talking about the question that even requires a vote.
Yeah, he answered that too.
I don't think he answered that.
I think he did. All right. Is there any discussion?
My hand is up, Chair.
Or I'll ask, is there any objection?
No. Yeah, Vanessa objects. I have my hand up for discussion.
I do too.
Likewise.
Well, are any of those hands objections?
Yes.
Yes.
So far.
Okay. Then we will proceed with the discussion in order. Ron.
My concern is this. There are two sides to every story. And obviously management's going to have its interpretation, and the former programmer has their interpretation. There's no way for us to discern that without having an executive session to put all those cards on the table. So I support the part of Tony's motion that requests such arbitration, such a meeting. But I can't support, the language that suggests that that person be reinstated immediately, without having that opportunity to get all the facts from both parties. So that's my concern, to protect the programmer, and to protect management's decision making.
All right.
We heard from both parties.
Verna.
Okay. I agree that there are two sides to three sides, one his side, her side, and then the truth. But we've only heard one side, which is very compelling and very disturbing. But it's kind of hard for me to believe that the way it was portrayed is what triggered that reaction on the young man. I don't know him from Hill Beans, but I would rather have a mediator be introduced in this process rather than try to dictate. Furthermore, the general manager of the IGM said tonight that this is in litigation. So I don't know how we should be venturing down that road. There's obviously more to this than we have been told about or has been shared with us. So I think we can't be precipitous on this and just go with our emotions. We need to hear both sides.
Thank you. Vanessa.
I agree very much. The only thing about which I will disagree with my esteemed colleagues as a union rep, sometimes there are not always two sides to every story. Sometimes somebody's just lying. I'm not saying that about Millie. I don't know her. I hear she's highly respected, but I think Ron's suggestion, Verna's suggestion, we need to go into executive session. We don't know how this decision was made. We don't know completely who made the decision. We need more information before we're moved by emotion to reinstate someone with insufficient information. We have not heard both sides. So I think that would be appropriate before we just say, hey, I liked her show, or hey, I've only heard her side. It sounded compelling, so that's what I want to do. We just need more information. I think anything less would just really be irresponsible. I'm sure she appreciates the support, but there's a way for this to be done in a responsible manner, and this isn't it.
Let me just say, for information's sake, that we did hear a side tonight. We did have an executive session. We did discuss this in executive session, and did hear aside. What we heard was at that time apparently limited for the same reason that some information was limited this evening because of litigation. So, but we did have a conversation in executive session.
Chair, I don't, both sides discussed during that session?
No, but the other side was discussed tonight.
Oh, okay.
They were separate. It was discussed sort of in two separate sessions. Yeah. But not all together.
Oh.
Okay, Michael.
We heard one side in our, closed session. Right. And tonight we heard a very compelling side from, yes, Millie, which really, was disturbing. to hear that. Now, for one, we have an IGM making a decision like that. That's the first thing. And when that very IGM, and I was the one that came to a board meeting to ask that she be removed when she made a more egregious statement on the air that was construed as damaging to the station. So in light of credibility, I'm not taking her word for it. And I think the board needs to get involved. In our past, we've had programmers that were removed, and we took to the streets. I'm sure everybody remember Kenji and Katia, as a matter of fact. So here we are in a situation where a programmer was not given any kind of consideration. And we're debating that as if it's, you know, she's guilty before proven innocent. You know, is this jazz injustice? Is this any kind of justice? Is that what we represent?
Okay. Irene.
I tend to agree with Michael on this. Is this jazz injustice? We just heard an account of a situation where someone was not given the due process. That's what justice is about. We did hear both sides. For those who didn't, we did hear the management, and you heard my version as well as a witness to the incident of her being threatened. My issue also is that nothing is being done about this programmer who, in the operations manual, threaten another programmer, and he's still sitting in the seat. And that's a problem for me. That's a problem for me. And I'm going to tell you, I've listened to the program, and it's full of hate. It's full of hate and hostility. And also, I have Googled the DC Superior Court, and I don't see any litigation in regards to WPFW and Millie Ware. I see the protective order that she has filed against him, but I see no other litigation there. So is this private litigation, or is it somewhat special litigation? I'm not sure, but litigation is public information, and we should be able to search the court documents for such litigation. And I don't see any. So we
30 seconds. All set? Okay. Tony, I see you. I'm going to let you go last. Okay, I got Ambrose come out. Ron, did you speak to this already? Or was that the last one?
Yeah.
Yes, I did, but I do have a question.
All right. Ambrose, and then come out.
Yes, I'm a little concerned based on what I heard tonight. 2 points that I'd like to make. The first point, I'd like some clarification on whether or not the accusation that this person quote unquote aired dirty laundry on the airways, did it stem from one incident, or did it stem from more than one incident?
because what I heard her say is that as she was arguing to get into the seat, the programmer, and I guess I would characterize how she framed it, purposefully turned on the microphone, unbeknownst to her, as she was trying to argue to get him out of the seat.
Yes, yes.
That's concerning to me.
Yes.
Now, the second concern is if he threatened her to the point where she had to take out a restraining order. And there was someone in the room, as I heard someone on this call just say, that they witnessed that. Then my question is, why weren't they at the very least suspended pending an investigation into those comments? And if it was a credible threat, then why weren't they immediately removed from the airways?
Right.
So right. if
one voice at a time, please.
If she aired dirty laundry in a second situation, a second on-air broadcast, then I think that the removal was justified. But if it is just based on when he turned up the microphone and she did not know it, then that's something else. And I'll stop there.
Does anyone have a short, specific answer to that question? My understanding from the earlier meeting was that there were two episodes.
I have an answer.
Yes, Tony?
The so-called airing of Dirty Laundry, as it was titled, only happened once. And that was the last time the programmer would not,
right. So that was
chair.
There were two episodes. Is that what you're saying?
The first episode was what he was asked to relieve the chair and he told her he would knock her out. There was no airing or nothing right. Went over the air then.
Right.
Second episode is when he turned the mic on.
Okay.
Dennis, may I add something, please? Millie said tonight that, my God, I lost my point.
Well, I'd like to, ask Tony.
We're going to go back to the order then.
Can I ask Tony a question?
I remember. I'm sorry. You had recognized, please forgive me. Millie said that Jerry was there then. And Jerry, yes. and somebody put in the chat, we really need to be discussing this in executive session, and they're really right. This is really inappropriate. But Jerry was the one who told them work it out. Yes. That's what happened in that first incident.
Yes, thank you. Come on.
Yeah, Vanessa basically is right. There's two incidences here. The first one apparently was worked out amicably, because they both went back to work. They both went back to their regular broadcast times. And then the second incident happened. I think this is a major and massive failure on the general manager at the time to effectively and accurately, litigate that situation. This is what happens when the dominoes keep perpetuating. So I think it's correct for this body to stand down. I put in the chat that there is actually litigation out there currently, and the station should, because a lot of people can be called to witness in this particular litigation. So I think everyone should just cooler heads should prevail. Everybody stand down, let the litigation flush itself out, and if everything is sound in terms of whatever side is, I won't call it victorious, but deemed to be correct, then let the station allow programmers to do what they must. I think this is a little hasty here, especially since it's in the courts. Thank you.
Okay. We need to close this out. And for the record, I am not happy with the fact that every meeting we hear the same voices all the time.
I would like some more of you to step up, and then I would not recognize the same people all the time. Verna and Ron, thank you. Art, I'll recognize you first.
Okay.
Yeah, look, we've kind of, y'all are really, really close to this issue, and I understand why, but management's made its move here. Us second guessing it, it's not going to get us anywhere. There's a lawsuit out there. It seems this is kind of opening ourselves up to all kinds of trouble just by talking about this online here. So I think this is a bad idea, and I think we should just move on.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Verna and Ron, no more than 1 minute each. Tony, okay, wrap it up. We vote and we go home.
Quick question. Tony, have you spoken to the other programmer at all about this?
No.
Not at all. Nothing. You're just basing yours solely on Millie.
Then answered.
Okay. Thank you.
Ron?
Excuse me. For obvious reasons, there's still a lot of uncertainty. If we're going to deal with this, this needs to be dealt with in executive session. You know, well, both parties have the opportunity to present their issues, and, you know, we go from there. But right now, you know, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of misinformation. You know, I understand the need to want to do the right thing, but let's do the right thing. Let's do the fact finding and then make a decision based on, the opportunity to hear from both sides, you know, in a closed session. Once again, that protects all the parties involved.
Thank you. Tony, last word. And Ellen, stand by to call the roll.
At this point, I think we are going to hear, I think we've heard everything that we're going to be able to hear. We've heard from both sides, management side. We've heard from the aggrieved side. I don't think any more information is going to be released to us. So my motion was simply to prove that the board is interested in what happened at the station, and that proper due process, a proper process take place for fact finding and due process occur. That's it. I mean, you know, the next, it could happen again with the next programmer that sits in that slot that Millie had, because that other programmer is still there. You know, it could happen to any one of the programmers. So, you know, each programmer here should really consider.
Michael, please mute.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Ellen, please call the roll.
Via letter.
Can I read?
He hasn't spoken.
I just wanted to clarify now, the motion is just for the due process now.
The vote is that we recommend reinstatement and allow due process.
Allow due process.
But we're still recommending reinstatement.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, and go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Irene?
It is, yes.
Vanessa? No. Verna?
No recommending. No.
Wayne?
No.
Michael?
Yes.
Bill Curtis? Bill Curtis. Is he still there? Yeah, he's there. Bill Curtis.
$1.5 million and above.
Come back to him.
I'll go back. Violetta?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, Sue? Oh, Wanda. I'm sorry, Wanda.
Yes.
Sue?
Abstain.
Robert?
Abstain.
Donna?
Abstain.
Kamau?
No.
I think he said no. Arthur? Arthur? Is he still there?
Art says no.
No. Andrew?
Abstain, please.
What did he say?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Abstain?
Yes.
Ambrose?
No.
Patrick?
No.
Tony?
Yes.
Mariah?
Abstain.
Ron?
No.
Minerva?
Yes.
Okay.
Could you repeat the motion? I'm so sorry. Please, Bill Curtis here. Could you repeat the motion?
That the LSB recommend reinstatement of Millie Ware and allow a due process to take place.
Due process. I vote yes for due process, please.
And recommending reinstatement.
And recommending reinstatement, yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. So one, two, the yeses. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeses. The noes are one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. No. And abstentions are one, two, three, four, five, six.
Dennis, vote?
Not yet.
That's what I'm waiting. I have to do everybody and now. Dennis.
And I will also abstain.
You abstain. Okay. Yes. So now there are seven abstentions, eight noes, and six yeses. So again, it's the no.
The motion is not passed. All right. I want to thank everyone for taking the time, for your attention and for caring about the station. None of this is easy. And I appreciate everything that all y'all are doing. I would ask one more favor from you tonight, which is to hear those magic words.
I move that we adjourn.
Second. Third.
And Irene, I hear no objections. Meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
good night.
Good night, all. Good night.
Great job, Chair. Great job, Chair.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good job, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
Can't get out of here.
I'll get you out.